You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. I've been a veterinarian for over 20 years, and I've seen, read, and heard some pretty strange things. That's one of the reasons why I wrote my book, The Secret Sex Life of Dogs and Cats. People tend not to know a lot about their own reproductive inner workings. They know even less about the birds and bees as it relates to their pets. In the next half hour, I hope to make you laugh, say at least once, "She must be kidding," and hopefully teach you a fact or two that can keep your pet healthy and happy. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Well, welcome back to The Pet Doctor. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and I'm just going to give you a little bits of here and there, some strange little things and some factoids that you might not be aware of. You might be able to go ahead and use it at the next cocktail party that you go to. All right, well, we've heard this week that the Obamas finally got their Portuguese water dog, Bo. Well, of course, we know that this is also not the first dog that's been in the White House. Teddy Roosevelt had a dog named Pete, and Pete was a kind of a nasty little dog, or maybe he just didn't like the French, because during Roosevelt's stay there at the White House, Pete has been known to rip the French ambassador's pants off. So it's one of the things we'll definitely have to teach Bo not to do. And then there was President Lyndon Johnson. I'm not sure if he just wasn't creative or who named his two beagles, but it was probably a little easier to remember. One was him and one was her. And then sometimes, you know, with our economy right now, President Obama is going to have to be careful what he spends on this dog, because Franklin Roosevelt sent a pretty bad precedent. He spent $15,000, and of course that was then, and I wonder how much it would be now, to send a destroyer to pick up his Scotty when it was in the Aleutian Islands. And that's kind of an overkill there. All right, so on to some serious things. The weather is finally warming up. And as it's warming up, we're going to be having more external parasites. It can even affect your pets if they stay mostly indoors. So let's talk a little bit about fleas. And fleas are rather fascinating little creatures. There are over 2,000 species of fleas worldwide. And if you remember your history, all the way back to the Middle Ages when we had the Black Plague, the Black Plague killed over 200 million people. And what was responsible for this? The rat flea. So times were pretty bad. They had rats all through their homes. And people found that if they had two-story huts, if they stayed on the second story, fleas didn't seem to get up there so well. But we do know that fleas can jump. They can jump 150 times their own length. So that would be like a person jumping over 1,000 feet. And this flea is not on steroids. Fleas are really insects because they have 6 legs versus ticks aren't insects because they have 8 legs. So things to keep those two separate. Ticks are actually related to spiders. Oh, interesting. So fleas are the most common little creature to bug our pets. The most common flea that's out there, fancy term, is called Tenocephalides phlealis. And if phlealis sounds like cat phlealis, yes it is. But that cat flea will actually get on a dog as well as a cat. And if you're saying, oh, I am so sensitive, my cat or dog can't be scratching because of fleas, because if it had a flea, I would be eaten instead. Well, we know that the cat flea will prefer a dog or a cat before you because they have a warmer body temperature than we do. But if you get that cat or dog out of the house for a couple of days, those fleas are going to start looking at those legs thinking, I'm kind of hungry, and that looks pretty good. Fleas are also interesting because if you've ever wondered, you know, you look at a flea and you go to try to grab it on your pet's coat and it goes scurrying away before you have a chance to grab it. The reason why they're able to swim so quickly through your pet's fur is because they're flattened side by side. And being flattened like this, they can zip through that fur real quickly. So how did your cat or dog get that flea? Well, usually it's from roaming around the neighborhood. But if you have a cat that's only indoors, they can still get fleas because you can go visit a friend. That friend has a pet. Well, that flea can jump on you. Or fleas can actually jump through a screen door or through a screen window if there's a lot of wild animals outside. So just because that animal's indoors, again, doesn't mean it can't get fleas. So using a safe, effective flea product is a good idea. Now, yes, I am a veterinarian, and in my practice, we do sell flea products. And there are times people come in and they look at the products that we have and they go, boy, this veterinarian is really just trying to rip me off because I saw at my pet store, I saw at the grocery store, the same exact product, and it's a lot less. Well, oftentimes it may be the same delivery system, but it's really not the same product. The products that are now being used by veterinarians are not insecticides in the typical fashion. What they do is affect a flea or tick's electrical system, most of them, which are very different than cats or dogs or people. So it overstimulates that flea very quickly, so they die. But die a happy death. There are some flea products that are acting more as a flea birth control. So your pet may still be bitten by the flea, but then it cannot lay eggs that'll go to maturity because these little guys are very, very good at laying eggs and producing more little creatures. There's actually 4 life stages to a flea. There's egg, larva, cocoon, and then the adult. And the adult only makes up a small fraction of the entire population that's in the household. As I was saying, fleas lay a lot of eggs. They can lay over 2,000 eggs, and they can stay in the environment up to almost a year's time. How quickly they're going to hatch is depending on temperature and humidity. So if you're in an area that's very cold, say like Minnesota, well, during the winter, you're pretty much flea-free, unless those fleas have come into the home and you turn on the humidity, you turn on the heat. Well, the fleas think they've gone to Florida. In places like Florida and California, these little guys are going to be year-round. So flea control is very important. You want to do that flea control year-round. Well, speaking of things getting warmer, when it gets warmer during the spring, those birds and bees are out there doing their thing, and those birds oftentimes will have these little baby birds that, oops, they're trying to learn how to fly, and they flop out of their little nest, and they land on the ground. And what are you going to do? Do you pick it up? Do you put it back in the nest? Do you leave it there? What do you want to do? Well, it is a good idea, whenever possible, put it back in the nest. If you can't put it back in the nest, sometimes just putting it in a secure, protected area away from where cats and dogs can get to it, but still someplace where the mother or father bird can hear it, is going to be best. Because if you pick it up, bring it in the house, trying to feed it, it's very difficult to feed these little birds. They have a very, very high metabolism. And sometimes it's so disheartening, you keep it going for several days, and then all of a sudden, it dies. The other problem with some of these animals, when you bring them in, the little baby raccoons or possums that you can nurse a little bit easier than a bird, and especially easier than a hummingbird, they can get imprinted to humans. There was a story in the news about a baby whale that got lost and mistakenly saw an Australian yacht. And I guess it was just the form of the yacht and the color of the hull. Thought it was its mother and tried to nurse off of it, tried to suckle. It kept doing this, so they tried to push it away and try to get it back to seeing if they could find its pod. They were unable to. And very sadly, they had to euthanize this little whale. So you're not going to be going out there in your boat, I think, to have a baby whale, lost whale, find you. But it's a good idea whenever you find a injured or a orphaned wild animal, whenever possible, leave it alone. Many times you'll have the parent come back. If you can't do that, maybe you can have a veterinarian in your area who does take care of wild animals and can help rehab them and get them back into nature again. All right, what other strange things happen with wild animals? Another weird story. This is about a young British woman who was very surprised to find a live baby bat in her bra. I think this is going to be, she's saying, what? So yes, this young woman was 19, and she figured out she had had this little bat in her bra for about 4 hours because she kept feeling this slight little twitch. And I maybe, this is where she put her cell phone because she thought this little vibration was actually due to her cell phone vibrating. So bats can get in strange places. I guess it was looking for some place that was dark and protected. That noise you're hearing in the back is my kitty, if you can hear it. That's Bogey doing his hello. Nice to talk to you. But bats are not a creature to play with. Here in California and many places in the United States, bats are very, very much associated with having rabies. There have been stories of people finding a bat, let's take it to school for show and tell. And if you find a bat out during the day, it's not supposed to be out during the day. So there's something wrong with it. Leave it alone. You don't want to pick it up. You could get exposed to rabies. Another weird story having to do with rabid animals. There was a woman in the state of Arizona. She was jogging along. Oftentimes we want to get away from, you know, the streets and get into some of the more rustic areas. Well, this particular woman was on a trail, and out of nowhere, a fox comes out, grabs her arm. Well, what would we do? I think most of us would stop. I guess she was just an avid exerciser and couldn't get this fox off her arm. So she continued to jog. Supposedly it was like another mile back to her car. She gets back to the car. How she gets it off her arm, who knows? But she gets it off her arm and she's able to corral it into the trunk, slams the trunk. She drives herself to the hospital. She gets treated. They check the fox. They have to euthanize it and found that it had rabies. And the only way you can tell for sure if an animal has rabies is to check its brain. So, good idea. You see wild animals, best thing to do is, even though they may become somewhat habituated to people, it would be so much fun to play with that little raccoon or to play with the squirrel or chipmunk, whatever. Not a good idea. They can carry parasites. They can be rabid. Just, you don't want them to get used to people. It's not good for their health. It's not good for ours. Keep them away. All right, how about another strange story? Dog biscuits. Any idea where dog biscuits came from? Well, the legend is that dog biscuits actually were accidentally created in London at a butcher shop, and this was late 19th century. So this shop owner was supposedly trying to make some meat-based biscuits. I personally don't think that would taste very good, but anyway, he tried and he tried, and I guess they tasted awful. So he had his dog, and he was going to throw it away, but what the heck? The dog seemed interested. Gave it to the dog. The dog liked it. So that's where we've come up with our doggy biscuits. And if you have a dog who you're looking at it, and it looks a little bit round around the edges, may we say maybe a bit curvaceous, and you tell your doctor, you tell yourself, okay, well, I'm really not feeding it that much. You know, I give it two meals a day and just a couple of biscuits. Well, these biscuits, as you heard, are really just dog food in a different form, sometimes a little bit harder, and they can add up. A biscuit here, a biscuit there. You get a nice round fat animal. And we know obesity is probably the number one major medical problem for our pets. If you need to give your pet a treat, because giving food is giving love, and yes, do what I say, don't do what I did. I had a little fat dog myself, and because of her chubbiness, she had problems with both of her knees. She had to have some knee surgery done. Best thing to do if you want to give a treat, try something like a carrot, a green bean, a little bit of fruit. You want to stay away from apples. You want to stay away from grapes. You want to stay away from raisins. They can be toxic. They can cause kidney issues. Now, a lot of people, myself included, have given grapes and raisins to my dogs over the years and have never had any problems. There are those that don't seem to have a problem, but too many of them can. So the safest thing is don't use it. Okay, here's another little strange factoid. Kitty litter. We all love it. My cat right now is in the kitty box. I can hear it scratching in the background. Where did kitty litter come from? Well, the gentleman, his name is Ed Lowe. He is a salesman, was a salesman for industrial absorbent products and was using sawdust and clays and things like this. And I guess a neighbor was asking for an alternative of what can they use in a cat box, because before cats would always go outside and go potty, but now, safely, we're bringing them inside. So she tried a little bit of this absorbent clay that they would use in industrial settings. And lo and behold, in 1947 was born kitty litter. It started getting out there, and more people are now having cats indoors. There are all sorts of scented, clumping, unclumping litters. Litters really are very safe. People are oftentimes concerned, especially with kittens. They get into the cat box and they play with it and they eat some of this stuff. Is it going to cause problem? Well, the small amount is not going to cause problems. It's just going to pass right on through. But it is a good idea to clean your cat box as frequently as possible. I have two cats. They use the same huge cat box, and it's uncovered because most cats will prefer an uncovered cat box. Most cats will prefer clumping unscented litter if they really had their choice and they've done the studies. Cats would prefer beach sand, but not going to do that. So the kitty litter should be scooped frequently, because nobody wants to use a dirty outhouse, and these little kitties are very fastidious. So get in there, scoop it, though it might be a moderately pain in the derriere to scoop twice a day. In the long run, it's going to be much better than having your cat starting to use the corner of the room as a cat box instead of its cat litter box. The electronic cat boxes they have that will now automatically scoop, a lot of people love them. It is definitely making it a lot easier on the pet owner. The pros and cons. I personally don't recommend them just because I would like the owner to be aware of, is the cat urinating? Has there been a change in the amount of urine that's being produced? Are the stools different? Is it putting out little Tootsie Rolls that we expect and want? Is it putting out little bunny pellets? It could be constipated, or it hasn't urinated, it hasn't defecated for a day or two. That can be a major medical problem. And if you're relying on electronic cat box and you're not cleaning it all the time, guess what? You could have some issues. So get in there, clean that cat box. It's really going to be better. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back after this short message and see what else I can come up to just to amaze and surprise you. Be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I? Meyer.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place with Win with Dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, stay, and get ready to Win with Dogs. With me, Raquel Wynn. Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge, on demand, every week, right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Wynn, and Win with Dogs.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Okay, how about some other little factoids for you? The U.S. has the highest dog population in the world. Who do you think has the second? Right now, it's actually France. And people are getting to just love these little animals as much as they love their kids, it seems like. People are spending a tremendous amount of money on their pets. Trying to keep these pets as healthy as possible has a lot to do with diet, genetics, health, and visiting your veterinarian. Well, you've heard me say it before. We now know that dogs that are living in the city are living about 3 times longer than country dogs. And what's the difference? You'd seem that living in the country would be a lot safer. Well, being exposed to diseases, maybe the city owners are taking their pets in a little bit more frequently because they're seeing them more frequently. They're in the house. They're with them more commonly than the dogs that are out and about and having fun over hill and dale. It's estimated for these people that are living in the city and loving these dogs, and I'm sure other people are doing it too, that over 1 million dogs in the United States have been named as the primary beneficiary in their owner's wills. So not all of these people are going to be as rich as Leona Helmsley, leaving millions to her dog. But it is a good idea to take care of the pets. You may not leave a huge sum of money, but what if something happened to you? What do you want happened to your pets? So you may want to talk to your friends and just say, all right, if something ever happened, I was killed in an automobile accident, would you please do me the favor and take care of my pets? I have a friend who has 7 Australian Shepherds. I hope she never dies because I get to take care of those 7 Australian Shepherds. I'm not sure my kitties are going to appreciate that. We'll see what happens. Speaking of surviving, Titanic. It seemed like everybody went down on the Titanic. Well, yes, hundreds of people were lost. But in actuality, 3 dogs survived the sinking of the Titanic. One was a Newfoundland, probably could swim. Another was a Pomeranian and a Pekingese. So I'm sure those were kept in people's arms to keep them out of harm's way. Keeping out of harm's way, we know that the presidential family now have their dog, and Bo is going to be a good-sized dog. Any idea what the largest breed is in the world? It is actually the Irish Wolfhound. I probably would have said the Neapolitan Mastiff, but nope. The largest breed is the Irish Wolfhound. And what is the smallest? Well, the smallest is a Chihuahua. We all know about the Taco Bell Chihuahua. You know what the Taco Bell Chihuahua's name was? The Taco Bell Chihuahua's name was Gidget. All right, now that you can use that in your little factoid file, anything you ever wanted to know about. Okay, another little factoid. Let's talk about ticks. Mentioned fleas. Ticks, again, are not going to be an insect, which has six legs. This is, again, related to a spider. Ticks have a very interesting life cycle. In order to reproduce, a tick must feed on three different animals during a two-year lifespan. And those animals can be dogs, cats, people, birds, even reptiles like snakes can have ticks that are on them. A tick has a lifespan with four stages: egg, larva, nymph, and an adult. And the adult is one that burrows its mouth parts into the animal. Trying to take a tick off, you know, people are trying to burn them off, trying to twist them off, trying to put nail polish on them, all these various things. A little trick that I heard, and I haven't had a chance to use it because thankfully where I'm in Southern California, we don't see a lot of ticks. But wearing a glove, because ticks can carry diseases that can be spread through their bites and in blood. And if you have a cut on your finger as you're trying to get a tick off, you can be exposed. The trick is to use your finger with the same amount of pressure that you would use to maybe rub a little circle on the end of your nose, so not real hard. Rub a tick's body in a clockwise fashion, and after about 20 seconds, the tick just kind of is spun off the creature, and there you have it. Best thing to do is get a pair of needle nose pliers or something and just squish the thing. If you can't get it off with this little circular motion trick, get a pair of needle nose pliers or mosquito forceps. For those people who are older, they used to be known as roach clips back in the 60s. Get as close to the skin as possible and pull straight out. That is a way to get a tick out. You may be left with a little bit of a bump, and oftentimes people think that the head part or the entire head's been left in. It's really just the mouth parts that are injected under the skin. And usually you're able to get the whole thing out, clean the area afterwards. But that little bump is usually just the body's reaction to the bite. Somewhat like you and I being bitten by a mosquito. So ticks, these little creatures, they can suck up to 100 times its body weight in blood. They can lay up to 6,000 eggs, which will usually hatch in a couple of weeks. Ticks are commonly found in brushy areas, wooded areas. So if you like taking that dog of yours, you know, out and about and kind of hiking through those wild areas, that's where they're going to be picking them up. And you can pick them up. Tick bites are not painful. And I don't like fleas, but, you know, every once in a while it's an occupational hazard. Well, I happen to find a flea on my body and grab the little creature and get rid of it. Well, actually, I found a tick on myself once. I'm not sure where I picked it up, but it just really was disgusting. So it's a good idea when your pet gets back from hiking around, check it all over. Check between its toes, check around its head and its face. The reason why you'll oftentimes find them around the head and face area is ticks are attracted to carbon dioxide. So when we're or our pet is breathing out, that carbon dioxide that we exhale is very attractive to a tick. So a tick will somewhat launch itself and grab on with its little feet to the hairs and move itself around. So for people, though you may look kind of a dork, it's a better idea to wear light-colored clothing, long pants, tuck your pants into your socks so then they can't crawl up your legs, have long-sleeve shirts so in case you're walking around, they're not going to be able to jump on your arms, and light-colored clothing is going to make it easier to find on you. There are products that are on the market right now for tick control, and some of them are flea and tick control for dogs. Very safe for dogs, but they can be toxic to a cat. So even if you have a cat in the house and say you don't put the product on your cat, but the cat likes to snuggle up to the dog and they're good buddies, well, that product can get onto their fur and it can be toxic. So if you're ever going to buy products and wondering, all right, what is the safest flea tick product to use on my dog or cat? Best person to ask? Ask your veterinarian. You may not necessarily purchase it from your veterinarian, but you do want to know what is going to be safe. Okay, let's see. What other little factoids? Ah, did you know that dogs and cats can get sunburned? And if they keep getting sunburned time after time, they can get skin cancer like we can. It's usually the lighter colored pets, the ones that have little white ears, white noses. Those are the kids that can get skin cancer. The most common places would be on their ears or nose tips. It may just look like a little red area.
but the little red area maybe heals, scabs over, and then it's back again. That's kind of interesting. There are some pets that do like to sunbathe. You'll find these dogs or cats outside during the hot part of the day, laying on their back, exposing those little tummies to the sun. Well, we are supposed to stay out of the sun ourselves when the sun is especially high, like between 10 and 2 or so in the afternoon. Good idea to make sure that your pet is staying out of the sun. If you have a pet with a very light-colored nose, you may want to put a little sunscreen on them. Those sunscreens can be safe, some of the ones containing zinc oxide. Don't want to put things that they can lick off right away, so if you put it on, go ahead, keep the pet occupied by feeding it, playing with it, doing whatever, but keeping the tongue off of those areas where you put the sunscreen. I had a little dog, Juanita, who seemed to have rather sensitive little eyes, so when we'd go for a walk, she'd wear a hat. And I thought it was probably just me being crazy that she liked wearing her hat. But I remember very distinctly one time taking her out for a walk. It was pretty sunny. She just stopped right in the middle of our driveway where it was sunny, would not go into the sun. Went back inside, got her little hat, popped her hat on, and she also had sunglasses. You can get doggles for your dog. They're sunglasses that stay on. She went trotting away. That was absolutely fine for her. And speaking of trotting, oftentimes people aren't sure, it's, you know, kind of warm outside and, well, that concrete, I don't know if it's too hot for the dog to walk on or for the kitty to be out there. How do you know if it's too hot? Hey guys, take your socks off, take your shoes off and stick your feet on that black asphalt. If it's too hot for your feet, it's too hot for your dog. And if you're out there exercising, it's a little warm for you and you're on your bicycle or you're on your inline skates and you're trucking along, you're having a good old time and you look at your dog and it seems to be slowing down a little bit and it's really panting away. And well, you knew if it was too hot, it would just stop. No, the dog is expecting you to be smarter than it is. If it's that hot and your dog is panting that much, stop. Make sure you're always carrying water for it. Your dogs can get into heat stroke very, very quickly because the only way that is able to get rid of the excess heat is really by panting and some of the little pores that are on its paws. But dogs and cats don't sweat like we do. Kitties are pretty smart. They're not going to go jogging with us. If a cat is hot, it's very humid, what do? They try to find a shady spot saying, hey, I'll talk to you when the sun goes down and it's a little bit cooler. But your dog wants to keep you happy. So it's out there. It's out and about with you. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Heat stroke can kill your dog. If you find that you've been out there and all of a sudden your dog just collapses, best thing to do is get it into a shady area. Try to cool it down. Pour some cool water over it. If you have, you're at home or close to home, you can get rubbing alcohol. Put rubbing alcohol on its paws. You don't want it to drink it, but that will help to get rid of some of the excess body heat and get it into your veterinarian as quickly as possible. Take its temperature to see if it's really hot. Normal temperature, 101 to 102 and a half. 104, 105, you look at the gums and they're not pink, they're very red. If your pet is panting, just doesn't seem to be responsive, those can be signs of heat stroke. Get your pet into the veterinarian. Okay, you live on one of the coasts. I'm here in Southern California where it's gorgeous and love going down to the beach. There are some beaches that are dog friendly and at any time you can take your dog down to the beach. It's a lot of fun. People love doing it. You don't want it to drink ocean water. I had a black lab and he would love going out there and chasing a ball into the water. Well, if you have a dog that's not a good swimmer, you better be a good swimmer because your dog can drown. Not all dogs can swim. If you're out boating and you or even have a pool and your dog likes to be around the back, be careful. Make sure your dog knows how to get out of the water. They actually have these little ramps, little stairs that have flotation devices on it so your dog can get out of the beach, can get out of the pool, can get out onto your boat if it falls in. If you're boating with your dog or you're in the backyard with a family outing, family get-together, they do have life preservers for dogs because they, again, most of them can swim for a period of time, but they can get tired. If you have an older pet, can't stay up very long. If you have a chubby pet, it can't swim very long. Or if you have a puppy, it's not going to be able to swim very long. So think ahead. Make sure that it has something on it like a little life preserver because you want to preserve its life.
When you're down at the beach, no drinking that ocean water. It's going to give them nasty blowout diarrhea. It has so much salt in it. There's other things in it that just, nope, you don't want them to drink the ocean water. Be sure that you have cool water for them to drink. If you've ever tried to start jogging on the beach, that's hard. You want to lose some weight, start jogging on the beach. But if your pet's overweight, you don't want to start it immediately jogging on the sand because it may be too much for his little joints. Good idea, check with your veterinarian before you ever start any exercise programs for your dog or for your cat. And yes, kitties can exercise. Sometimes it's just something like chasing a feather or chasing a string. You may even want to have it chase a laser light. Those are great things to do. Or as I tell people, you know, get a puppy to come in the house. That'll drive your cat crazy and get it moving around a lot more. And cats don't have to have food available 24/7. They can go ahead and eat under your conditions, under your time frame and not theirs. But you don't want to put your cat on a heavy duty, very strict diet or change it to a food that it doesn't like and say, here, go ahead, eat this, you will eventually. No, kitties can actually starve themselves out. And it's one of these things can be horrible because you are trying to do a good thing, trying to put your kitty on a diet. And in actuality, when a cat has either lost its appetite for illness or lost its appetite because it just doesn't like the taste of the food, sometimes as short as 24 hours, it can start to mobilize the fat that's in its body. It gets deposited in its liver. They become jaundiced, yellow, and that can actually has a fancy term called hepatolipidosis, yellow cat. And that is a very, very serious condition. That can end with you having to take the kitty to the hospital, being hospitalized for several days, force feeding, tube feeding, a special feeding tube being placed, and even being the most aggressive that veterinarians can be. Too many times these cats will succumb. They will die. So don't put your cat on a super strict diet. Slow and sure is going to be the best way for it. Speaking of protecting its health, if you listeners right now have not gotten pet insurance, get pet insurance. It is such a good idea. You hope that you're never going to have a medical issue that will require it, but it happens. The other little bit of factoid news, make sure your pet gets a microchip in it. You have a pet that's, oh, it's a cat. It's always indoors. Or my dog is always in the back. It never gets out. Earthquakes, fires, floods, these things will happen. What is going to be the best pet insurance for you? Ask your veterinarian what he or she recommends. There are several different companies. Some of them can only be used at a certain chain. Some that can be used literally worldwide. What is going to be the best microchip for you to have? There's basically two main systems that are out there. It's somewhat like having a IBM or a Mac computer. The two systems will never talk with each other, but there are scanners that can detect both types of chips. Chips are wonderful because there's been too many times I've worked at emergency clinics or cats or dogs who obviously are owned by somebody are brought into my practice by a good Samaritan and there's no identification. I know I could do something if I could just find the owner, but no identification, no microchip. There's nothing I can do. So, speaking of nothing more than I can do, hopefully you've learned a little. This has been a lot of fun talking with you today. The hopes for this show is that you're always going to learn a little bit, be a bit educated, have the healthiest pets that you can have. If you have any questions, probably the best person to ever ask is going to be your own veterinarian. He or she knows you better than anyone else. If you still have some questions, please feel free to email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor. Have yourself a great week, and please tune in next week where we'll have some more interesting factoids for you, the pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.